We're going to start today with a story about treating your employees right. Think about it. If you sign up for a risky job, you expect your boss to take care of you if anything bad should happen, right? Like if your life is threatened. And that's the story of Ajmal Fakhri. He was an interpreter for the U.S. military in Afghanistan for 9 years. It's a dangerous job, and many interpreters and translators applied for visas to come to the U.S. Right now, though, those visa applications are heavily restricted, leaving thousands more Afghans unable to come here for sanctuary. And that's where Matt Zeller comes in. He served with the U.S. Army in Afghanistan. Zeller's now helping run an organization called No One Left Behind. It's working to speed up the visa process for interpreters who worked with the U.S. military abroad. Zeller will join us in just a minute, but first, I asked Ajmal Fakhri why he became an interpreter for the U.S. military in Afghanistan.
One of the most important things for me to become a translator in Afghanistan was to help United States troops while they were serving my country. We fought against Taliban. I was shoulder by shoulder with Afghan National Army and United States military. I worked with Army, Marine, Navy, Air Force. So, and there was another reason that I could make money to support my family, to protect our Afghan National Army, and to work for our freedom.
So you were in your late teens when you started doing this work. How dangerous was this for you and your family?
It was very dangerous. We could commute to work and home, but it was not safe for us. We used to leave the base around dark and go home, see our family, and come back. That was very dangerous for me and for other translators who worked for United States military in Afghanistan.
So, Matt Zeller, let me bring you into the conversation. You fought in Afghanistan for the U.S. military. You actually embedded with the Afghan army. What was your experience with Afghan interpreters?
Simply put, my translator was more important to my survival and the survival of my soldiers than the weapons that we carried. Our job was to train the Afghan army and police to one day hopefully be able to replace our military, allowing our men and women to come home. To do all of that training, I had to be able to talk to these people. I don't speak Dari or Pashto, which are the two languages predominantly spoken in Afghanistan. So not only was my translator vital for me being able to just simply communicate with the forces that I was trying to train, they were also my entire link to the society around me. They were our cultural lens and filter. And it became, you know, extraordinarily apparent of just how important they were going to be to our overall mission and the success of our mission on my 14th day in country. I ended up experiencing one of the worst battles that I've ever been in my life. And the first people targeted in that battle by the Taliban were our translators, because they understood that if they could kill our translators, they could essentially prevent us from being able to do our jobs.
One of your interpreters actually saved your life. Is that right?
Yeah. His name's Janis. He's actually a friend of Ajmal's and mine. He shot and killed two Taliban fighters actually in that very same battle who were about to shoot me in the back.
Wow.
I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you right now had it not been for him.
So, Ajmal, if the number of visas issued to military interpreters and translators continues to go down, just imagine yourself some 15 years ago when fighting was heating up in Afghanistan. Would you have signed up to be an interpreter for the Americans?
If they stopped giving visa?
Yeah.
No.
You wouldn't have done that. So, Matt Zeller, obvious question to you. What does this limit of 1,500 special visas for interpreters mean for the U.S. military?
Well, fundamentally, what it means is that it's going to be a lot harder for us to fight and win future conflicts. You know, the very people that we asked Ajmal and Janice and all the other translators to help us fight, the Taliban, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, they're the ones who are ultimately hunting down these wartime allies of ours and brutally murdering them. They often videotape their deaths and exploit these snuff films for propaganda purposes. You know, the whole point is to try to convince future populations, say Syrians, Yemenis, Libyans, that partnering with the United States is ultimately a guaranteed death sentence, because we ultimately don't keep our promise to bring people to safety in exchange for their vital service to our country. That's going to be the ultimate legacy if we fail to keep this promise. And so what we're hoping the Congress will do is to help the American people continue to keep the goodwill that we've earned through our centuries of good conduct around the world. You know, that's all at jeopardy at this point. Our credibility is very much on the line.
You know, one thing that struck me is 13,000 interpreters and translators and their families are awaiting visas right now to come to the U.S. Should these numbers surprise us, or do you think there should have been even more interpreters available?
Actually, I would argue that there should have probably been more interpreters available. If anything, you know, we were under-resourced. And let me be clear. A lot of people have said, you know, in future wars, we might not need to rely on locals like Ajmal or Janice to provide these services because technology could one day replace them. You know, Google has an amazing app for smartphones that essentially will do real-time translation from basically any language into English. But that iPhone, it can't give me the cultural context that someone like Ajmal can. You know, that iPhone can't tell me that those kids on the left-hand corner come running out with a soccer ball and the guy who has the tea shop on the right corner comes out and offers free tea. But now that we've showed up today, nobody's on the street, which is probably a key indicator that we're about to get attacked. That's the type of insight that a translator provides. Because again, they're not just translating language, they're translating culture. And in a counterinsurgency operational environment, which is what these last two wars were predominantly involved with, that type of support is critical to mission success. And so if we don't keep this promise, point blank, we're going to be known around the world as a country of liars, and no one's going to partner with us. And the implication of that is more Americans are going to die in future conflicts. Because again, if the guy who had saved my life had believed that we ultimately didn't keep our word, you heard Ajmal. He, like Ajmal, would not have signed up to partner with us, and I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you two today.
Ajmal, do you know any interpreters who have been killed as a form of reprisal?
Yes, I know. I think it was 3 months ago, one of the translators who got visas to come to the United States, he got for himself and for his wife, and he was waiting for his son visa to come to the United States because they postponed his son visa for some time. And while he was waiting for his son's visa, he was captured and beheaded by Taliban.
These people don't have an additional day to wait. In many cases, they've been waiting years. With every day that we force them to wait a little bit longer, it's just a gift to the people that are that, again, we ask them to help us stand and fight against, because it gives those people more time to ultimately hunt these people down and hurt them and their families because they had the courage to stand with us when we asked them to.
Well, Matt and Ajmal, thanks very much for sharing your stories with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Ajmal Fakhiri was an interpreter for the U.S. military in Afghanistan, and Matt Zeller, a former U.S. Army captain, is co-founder of No One Left Behind.